You have your Bible, turn with me to 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, very familiar passage of Scripture. These things have I written unto you that believe on him, or believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Do you know? Do you know him? And do you know for sure of your relationship with the Lord? John, in this first epistle, is writing to us about a particular group of people. He's writing to us about Christian folks. And he is writing to Christians about knowing for sure that they are saved. Evidently, there were some in John's day that were having some doubts as to their relationship and their salvation with the Lord. And that is not at all uncommon, especially in times of trouble and persecution. Persecution was rampant at the time of John's writings, and to many it seemed as if maybe God had just gone on a journey and forsaken them. They were on their own. Could it be that their profession of faith was lacking in some way? Why was all of this happening to them? Have you ever asked the question, Lord, why? Why is all this happening to me? Well, John is here teaching that even in times of intense persecution, trials, troubles, those who have their faith in God, their faith and trust in God, can know for sure that everything is going to be all right. Job of old is a good example. He was a believer, and the Bible said he loved God and he detested evil. One day when it seemed like everything was going extremely well, the bottom dropped out of his world. In a short period of time, nothing seemed to be going well at all. Job, a true servant of God, found himself in pain and agony as boils covered his body from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He was rich, but now all of his riches were gone. He had a large family, but now tragedy had claimed them all. His wife had been by his side for many years, but now when he needed her most, she was suggesting that he curse God and die. And then he had some friends that came along, and God deliver me from friends like this. But his friends came along to try and help him sort it all out. Their conclusion was, Job, you must have done something terribly wrong. God must be punishing you for something, some sin that you have committed. Well, Job, after weighing it all out with the utmost of scrutiny, gave this declaration of faith. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know. I'm sure, he said. I know, I'm sure that my Redeemer, the one who saved me, he liveth. Job had some doubts maybe at first, but after prayer and meditation and after considering the Word of God, he came out on the other side with victory. Let me point out something. It's not a terrible thing from time to time for us as Christians to have doubts. Having doubts simply means that you indeed have faith. The sinner, an unbeliever, for example, has nothing to doubt. And how can you have doubts if you don't have faith? So every now and then, the devil is going to come and cause you to have some doubts. But thumb through the pages of the Bible, and you'll find that some of the greatest of God's servants had doubts. God said of Job in verse 3 of chapter 1, this man was the greatest man of all the East, and yet he doubted. But his doubt soon gave way to faith and trust in God. And there's another man by the name of Thomas, and we call him Doubting Thomas because he said, I will not believe until I'm able to thrust my fingers into the nail prints of his hand and thrust my hand in the wound of his side. But when the Lord appeared to him, he didn't have to do any of that. He bowed before him and said, my Lord and my God. Job went on to say, the Lord knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job remembered that those who serve the Lord will be subject to trials. And does not the Bible say it rains on the just and the unjust alike? You see, all of us, just because we're a child of God does not mean that all of our worries are over. In a lot of cases, it seems like they're just starting. But God is there that will not allow us to be tempted above what we're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape for us. Do you know when you go through the fiery trials, you burn off the dross, the impurities, and you come out better on the other side. So count it all joy when you have trials and temptations, knowing that your God will not allow you to be tempted above how you're able to overcome. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Do you know this morning your Redeemer liveth? I know he liveth. I know. In the New Testament, we find similar words coming from the Apostle Paul. Paul spoke these words when he was in a Roman prison facing execution. It seems as if his captors had the upper hand. It seemed as if Paul was about to lose the battle. But in the midst of things, Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He said, I put it all in the Lord's hands. I know that he's Lord and Savior of my life. Paul knew for sure, even with those chains hanging from his feet there in the prison, he knew that which was to come would be far better for him. And he went on to say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Paul knew for sure how it was all going to turn out, but he went on to say, but it's not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You know, I don't know what lies ahead for you or me. I don't know what the future holds. Some of us, maybe even all of us, will have to face similar circumstances as Paul and Job. And we need to know for sure. And we can. I think all of us realize we're living in the last days. Folks say things are going to get better and better. The Bible said worse and worse. You see, the Bible teaches us that the hearts of men will grow cold. And that day will not come except there be a falling away first. I'm here to tell you the Antichrist is on the scene somewhere. I really believe that. And that he is soon to make himself known. Let me remind you that we can never have that kind of assurance that Paul and Job had if we base our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ on our feelings. You see, if Job had relied on his feelings, he would never have been able to proclaim, "I know my Redeemer liveth." If Paul had based his testimony on how he felt, he probably would have said there in that prison cell, "Lord, deliver me from these chains. I've had about all I can stand, and I need, Lord, for you to help." The feelings that each had were good feelings, only because their faith didn't focus on the circumstances. Now, I'm here to tell you, all of us have had some circumstances lately. We've all had circumstances. And I know there's a temptation for all of us to focus in on the circumstances instead of the one that's in control of all the circumstances. This morning I want to give you briefly three biblical principles for the assurance of salvation. A lot of folks doubt and they question. And the Bible knew that. And let me give you some hope. Number one, to know for sure that you're saved, you must have a present faith in God, a present faith. Nearly without exception, when a Christian is asked if they're saved, they'll answer the question by referring to a time and a place in the past when the Lord saved them. I can take you to the place, I can tell you the time when the Lord saved me. And maybe he saved you in 1980. Maybe in 1980, when you were a teenager, you gave your life to the Lord. And when we talk like that, we're talking about the conversion experience, the beginning of salvation. Every Christian has a time and a place they can point to in which they said, "The Lord came into my life." But did you know that the Bible does not emphasize faith in the past? It emphasizes faith in the present and in the future. In verse 10 of this chapter 5, "He that believeth on the Son of God has this witness in himself. He who believes," and this is in the future tense, "that keeps on believing." John said in 1 John, or in John chapter 3, verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." You see, if a Christian bases their assurance of salvation on some past experience, regardless of how valid that experience might have been, it will waver indeed if your present relationship with the Lord is not in order. How are things right now in your life? With God, today is the day of salvation. And I'm glad to say that I'm just happy that you confessed your sins back in 1980, that you invited Christ into your life. But what about the sins that you've committed today? I'm thrilled that you were faithful in your attendance when you were at home under the authority of your parents. But how about your faithfulness right now? Let me ask you a question. How would you feel this morning if the Lord came back in the Sunday a.m. service or the Sunday p.m. service or the Wednesday night prayer meeting service and you were at home? And knowing that just in a few seconds you were going to stand before him who is omniscient, whose eyes are in every place beholding the evil and the good, and you were going to account for your life and your soul. God knows everything about our life. The question is, would you feel uncomfortable? Listen, when the bottom has fallen out of your world, when the dark storm clouds hover over your head and threaten your very existence, what you did for God in the past won't be worth much if your present relationship with him is not in order. The things that will cause you to proclaim victory in the hour of seeming defeat will be that relationship that you have with Jesus Christ right now in the present. I'm glad that I was saved when I was 14 years of age. I'm glad that I've never looked back. I've never questioned the fact of my relationship with the Lord. But I can't rely upon that. I've got to grow in grace and in knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, I've got to continue to make progress, and I want to be more like him. Every day in my life, I want to be more and more like my Savior. We don't need to stand still. Secondly, to know for sure that you're saved, your faith must rest on a firm, reliable foundation. The Apostle John gives us three vital bases for our belief. Number one, my faith in Christ is valid because of the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died to purchase all of our salvation. This is he that came by water and by blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. John was referring to that spear that was thrust into the side of Jesus. He died the excruciating, painful death of crucifixion upon the cross of Calvary. Out of his side flowed blood and water. And this is symbolized in the Old Testament tabernacle system. Upon entering the tabernacle, the first thing that is seen is the altar of bronze where the blood sacrifices were made. The next was the laver or the basin where the priest would wash himself. First the blood, then the water. This is a picture of what Christ would do for us at the cross of Calvary. And we're looking back at the cross. This is what he did. His blood cleanses us from sin, and the symbolic sanctifying waters keeps us clean. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure, save from wrath, and make me pure. My faith in Christ is valid only because of the work of Christ and because of the witness of the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit that beareth witness because the Spirit is truth. If you receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he testifies of his Son. You know, we'll take the witness of men before we'll take the witness of God. Let me give you an example. You go to the doctor, and I've been to the doctor twice this week, but you go to the doctor, and they'll write you out a prescription you can't read. You take it to a pharmacist that you don't hardly know, and he'll give you some medicine. You can't pronounce the name. And yet we'll take that medicine faithfully. God tells us to do something. What do we do? We think that we have, that God's given us options, you know? That he's given us options, that there's option number one, option number two, and no. God wants us to be faithful. My faith in Christ is valid not only because of the work of Christ and the witness of the Holy Spirit, but because of the Word of God. The record that God gave concerning his Son is this book right here. This is what we follow. You know what? It'll get you to heaven. It'll get you to heaven. Verse 12 wraps it all up in John, 1 John 5. He that hath the Son has life, and he that hath not the Son of God has not life. That sums it all up, doesn't it? He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son has not life. The question before us today is, do I have the Son of God in my life? Is his Holy Spirit living in me to lead me and guide me? If the answer is not an emphatic yes, then you need to take action today. And then finally, to know for sure that you're saved, your behavior must be consistent with your belief. The English word believe comes from two words, meaning live by. Believe, live by. What we truly believe, we will live by. You know, I have never found it hard to live by God's word. I'm not perfect by any means, never will be, but I'm striving to be that way. But the one thing I try to do is know what this book says and translate it to my life, first of all. If I'm not consistent, then I can't stand before you and tell you this is what you need to do. My life needs to be an example of what God's will is. And again, I'm not perfect, never will be, but I'm striving to be. And wherein I fall short, I'm going to do my best to overcome and be victorious in that area. John says, what I say I believe will be tested by the commandments, how I keep them. And hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. That is, my walk must match my talk. What I say I need to do. You know, people look at our lives and they know that we are living epistles read of all men. And they look at our lives and they want to see the truth of Jesus in our life. They're looking to you as the only Bible they may ever, ever read. God help us that we might lead them in the paths of righteousness by living the truth in front of them. John says, what I say I believe will be tested by how I love the brethren. Do you love everybody? You know, Christian folks sometimes have a problem here. They don't love folks and love one another like they ought to. But God wants us to love everybody. How can we love God if we don't love our, you know, God that we haven't seen, if we don't love our neighbor that we have seen? God help us that we will be obedient to do the will of God, and that we'll love our neighbor, and that we'll serve God faithfully, and we'll march every day to his drumbeat, doing exactly what he wants done, rather than this whole world is coming to a screeching halt. It won't be here long. The Bible says it'll melt with a fervent heat. One of these days, it's going to crumble out from under the feet of folks that have depended on it all their life. But I'm glad that I put my faith and my trust in the Lord, the solid rock, at the age of 14, and that rock has never failed me. It's just as solid today as it was then. It'll be just as solid tomorrow as it is today. Is your life built on the solid rock? Let's bow for prayer.